This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. We showed you that video earlier on, which was part of This Is Sunday, just an opportunity to celebrate last year and to think a bit about the coming year and what our plans are and what we think God's given us to do in the coming year. That video will be on the website, so if you didn't see the best of it or didn't really quite have enough time to catch all those images, then by all means download it and watch it. After we've looked back a bit, we're going to look forward, and then we're going to pray again at the end and worship together again at the end and have a chance to pray once again on the mic for the church, for what God's given us to do, for what God's given you to do. And we're going to sort of finish, wrap up the service in celebration and prayer after we've shared some ideas and thoughts and where we're going. First of all, on this Sunday, I'd like to remind us what our vision statement is. Our vision statement is one of those, isn't one of those catchy little ones that you can memorize. It's more of a comprehensive statement that helps us sort of surround what we do and how we think about our role. So I'll read this to you together. I will read this to you. We believe God has called us to establish a growing, regional, biblically based community of faith in Leeds. We will worship God, pray, communicate his love and mercy to all people, and commit to living out our faith in Jesus in a creative and contemporary way and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that there is good news for this generation in the kingdom of God, and we long to share that news, particularly in Leeds and the north. We aim to make, train, and equip followers of Jesus to be effective in the extending of God's kingdom, to develop leaders, to plant new churches, to contribute to the blessing of the whole church, and to minister with the poor in practical ways. That pretty well covers the ground. I expect you all to memorize that and be prepared to come up here on a spontaneous note and deliver it from memory at any given Sunday. I just want to, thinking back over that video and all the things that we saw, which were great. Hannah's done a fantastic job in preparing that. Just some highlights for me and all that. The small groups, I think the small groups have been amazing. These leaflets come out every term, and there's something like 30-plus small groups for us to get stuck into. What a great network of relationships and groups and friendships that people can integrate into the church, right from the very fringes right to the heart of the church. It's a really important part, perhaps the most important part of the life of the church. That's really exciting. We've got Ivan and Libby still ministering in Mexico and doing amazing work there. And Ruth is with us at the moment, but is spending most of the year in Asia. We heard from her last year, and they've been ministering on the mission field effectively. Every month, a bunch of people are out there on those streets over there, right across the road, praying for the sick and available for prayer for healing and telling people about Jesus. And some of you in this room are here because you met them over there. And that's a wonderful ministry. If you want to know how to talk to people on the streets and pray for them, then grab Pauline and Jerry, and they'll show you the way. If you remember back in the summer, before the summer, we launched Steps 2017, and we launched 40 days of prayer and fasting for Steps. And it was in order to buy Vineyard House, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But that was a real stretch. It was really quite hard. And yet, by the end of the year, we've raised £334,000, which is pretty well our target for what we were trying to do. And you'll hear more about where that's going. That's an incredible statement of the people in this church and what they feel God's called us to. We did two baptism services in the River Wharf, one before the summer, one after the summer. We had several children dedicated. I've got a sneaking suspicion there'll be more this year. Alpha course ran every term, and we saw three brand new people decide to follow Jesus as a result, and many more have their faith enhanced and affirmed. In the summer, Ben and Kate Newman, with Sam and Joseph, their kids, went off to Edinburgh to plant the Edinburgh Vineyard, which is really exciting and looks fantastic. We miss them greatly, but we're proud that we've been able to send them off to Edinburgh to save Scotland. And then in the summer, about 100 or so of us joined. Sorry if you're Scottish, that was just a joke, okay? I know we need saving too. Back in the summer, about 100 of us went off to Ashburnham, which is a summer holiday every 2 years, and we had a great time down there. And there have been several weddings. There are probably more, but I can remember William and Vicky got married in March, yeah? And then George and Nikki got married. Where's George gone? In August. And Eleanor Duerden got married to Ed Bennett and moved off to the Lake District back in September. So that was great. That was a celebration. One of the really exciting things of the year is the Child Contact Centre. And you saw some of the pictures. And that meets every fortnight in one of the rooms back there, where parents who are separated from the kids because of court orders and things and, you know, the complications of those arrangements, they're provided with a place to meet with their children again and restore family units for a time. And it's an incredible ministry, very, very successful. An average of 10 to 14 families every week, every fortnight, and regular handovers as well between. It's a really, really wonderful thing. We had various guest speakers coming who inspired us and great things. I haven't got time to go into all of those. Towards the end of the year, as is usual, we put together a load of hampers and food and presents for the families involved in the Child Contact Centre and for the local food bank. And that was a good way of coming into Christmas, which is all about spending and eating, but a chance to give away and to see other people fed. Towards the end of the year, we commissioned Ian and Hannah Ripping to go and plant a vineyard as well. One to Edinburgh with Ben and Kate, and Ian and Hannah Ripping went off to Bradford. They've just started this month. It's very exciting. And then we finished the year with some great Christmas services and Christmas Day services and New Year's Eve services on the theme of favour. Hundreds of people coming along, lots of new people heard about Jesus and were able to celebrate, and we had a great time. What a good year, hey? How about 2018? Should we do it again? See, we're not just a club, though. We're not just a friendly association having a good time. This is a place where change makers are nurtured. This is a place where we have an encounter with God. That's why we come on a Sunday morning. We want to see each other. We want to worship together. We want to learn. And we want to meet with God. And that's what it's about. Where people's lives are transformed and redeemed. And like Naomi said, all those things cover up story after story after story of what Jesus is doing in people's lives. And we heard a bit from Abby about one such story. We want to provide a community which gives home and relationships and family. Many of you know that I've just on Friday had the funeral for my father and a couple of months ago for my mother. And it was so precious to me to have a family. I've got a great family, a blood family, a great family, but to have this family who are supporting me and praying for me and Alison as we go through this, I don't know how people do it without that. I really don't. You're so important to me and precious to me in just that part of my life. We're making a difference in Headingley. We want to. If we weren't here, would anybody notice? I pray that will never be the case in Headingley or in Leeds. Last week I spoke about how we must find out individually our garden to cultivate and to pray over, metaphorically. And we need to do that as a church, figure out what is our part in the city of Leeds to cultivate and to protect in prayer, which part of God's kingdom, and I believe it's here. Having said that, I want you to pray for Leeds. Leeds is this is our city. It's a wonderful city. It's got great faults, but it's also got great good things going for it. I love the vision of this city, which is to be the best city in the country. Not the richest, not the wealthiest, not the most successful in those terms, but the best place to live, the best place for people to grow up, and safest. In 2016, Leeds won the Sustainable Cities Prize for the best UK city for quality of life. That's a great thing to pray for. We put into this city and we need to pray for that. Pray for the quality of life, pray for jobs. Leeds has grown by 40% in the last 10 years. It's been a real success story, and it's great, and we pray for it, and we pray for wise leadership and good decision-making among the politicians and businessmen and city leaders. But, the cure is forgiveness, and we pray for God's kingdom to come. Because when God's kingdom comes and people experience redemption in Jesus' name, that's the most sustainable way to look after our city. That's the most fruitful way to bring quality of life to Leeds when his kingdom comes. That's what we pray for. We're called to pray for our city and our neighborhoods. And as a church, we have a specific assignment, the specific part of the garden, which is Headingley as a church. I know you live in different parts of the city, and you have to minister and pray over your parts of the city, but as a church, this is our patch, and we need to pray for it and to win Headingley for the kingdom. Right, we have usually two things that I talk about at this point for the following year. One is the teaching theme, what we want to think about this year. Last year it was, who is Jesus? This year it is prayer. And then the second part is something practical, which will be about Vineyard House, and I'll come to that in a few minutes. The first thing is prayer. I talked a bit about this last week, and Liz and Anne preached on it the weeks before. It's an amazing thing to think that we can somehow commune with God. God who precedes everything, who is outside of time and creation, and yet we can commune with him. He's not a distant God, putting us at arm's length. He wants a conversation with us. He desires to say something to us. Prayer is at the heart of the Christian experience. But it's not easy. And we're always learning more about it. In Revelation 3, verse 20, perhaps the key verse for understanding prayer in the New Testament. Here I am, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. That verse says it all. Jesus Christ comes to us and asks to come in. He knocks and he waits for us to answer. He offers to sit with us and converse with us. How amazing is that? And it begs the question, what are you going to do? And if you'll open the door and invite him in and talk with him, that's called prayer. He's there. And this is our theme for 2018, prayer. We'll teach it on Sundays, and we'll teach it in small groups. We'll be doing it alone, and we'll do it together in many different ways. We'll build a set of resources for you to call on the website and to listen to. And together we're going to go on a voyage of discovery. Survey after survey out there, they all vary and come to slightly different conclusions, but the broad theme of survey after survey is that about half of the population say that they pray on a regular basis, whether they believe in God or not. It's just a natural thing. Sometimes it's a desperation thing. And most people say they would turn to prayer in desperation. Do you remember that film, Wonderful Life? I'm sure many of you have seen it. Jimmy Stewart, at the end of his rope, and he says, "Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man. But if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. Show me the way." I think many people pray that type of prayer. It seems quite natural, and we don't understand, I don't think we understand what we're doing, who we pray to, what's happening. But we are doing it, and it's a natural response to difficulties, it's a natural response to shame and to guilt, as well as a natural response to celebration and enjoyment. So next month, we really kick-start it for serious. And for 1 month, from the 4th of February, next Sunday, through to the 4th of March, we're going to invite you to take part in the thing we do on a regular basis, which is a month of prayer and fasting. And the theme of this prayer and fasting is going to be waiting on God. Waiting on God. And our month of prayer and fasting constitutes several things. One is what you're going to fast. Two is what you're going to learn about. And three is how are we going to pray together. Andrew, do you mind just shutting the door for me? So what about fasting? There's notes on the website if you're not sure about fasting and how to what you want to go without. And some people fast food or drinks or comforting things. That's fine. Do that to the extent that you want, and it's a really good thing to do. I'm going to revert to something to help me with this waiting on God thing. And I want to sort of suggest this as something you could use to decide how you... I'm telling you a week in advance, so you can decide how you want to fast if you want to join in with this. And this waiting on God, I think, involves us swapping our doing for our being. Swapping our doing for our being. And we thought a lot about this in the staff team and in the preaching team about how do you do being without doing? It's quite difficult just to be without doing something. You know, I'm going to go for a walk in the forest, that's my way of being, but you're actually doing something. Well, you can work that one out for yourself. But the psalmist tells us in Psalm 46, verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I'm God. And it doesn't mean stop, just be still, bang, you know that God's there. It doesn't happen like that. He says, "Be still and you will come to know that I am God." Be still for a long period of time. Don't just think it's like a formula. How are we to be still? It's going to be different for different people. I'll just tell you what I'm going to do, just to give you an idea. I'm going to revert to we've done it a couple of times. Do you remember we did Fast Your Phone about 18 months ago? And I think a year ago or so we did Swap Your Screen. And I've just been challenged on this, I think, by the Lord already again. I think my smartphone is an addiction. It's an addiction. I can't not have it. My life wouldn't be complete without it. I'm not the person I thought I was when it's not there. I'd do anything to make sure my smartphone's around. It's the thing I look for first in the morning and last thing at night. It's the thing I check for the little beep. And I'm so that's my distraction from spending time with God a lot of the time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a 12-hour fast over the course of the month. So what I'm just going to do is turn the phone off for 12 hours every day. So overnight, part of this is because while my parents have been very ill, I've had to have my phone on at night for the middle of the night phone calls. You know, we're in hospital, what sort of thing. But after my father died, I was able to turn my phone off at night. I said, "Thank you, Dad. That's a real gift you've given me." And I thought, so now I turn it off at night. So what I'm going to do is whenever I turn it off, so if I turn it off at 8 o'clock in the evening, I can turn it back on at 8 in the morning. But if I end up playing solitaire on it at midnight and then turn it off, I'm not going to turn it on until 12 o'clock the next day. And I just feel God's challenging me to do that. So make up your own. That's just an idea of how to fast. Being, in a sense, this being thing, and as well as doing, but this being thing is a significant part of learning to pray. And to help you with this, we're going to give you all next week. Come back next week and you'll get a free copy of Waiting on God, Andrew Murray's wonderful devotional book. It's about 100 years old and it's quite ancient in its writing, so persist. And it's quite repetitive as well, but it's a short devotional each day on this concept of waiting on God. And by the end of the month, you'll be in a different place to where you were at the beginning if you'll do these all the way through. And so this is the thing I'd encourage you, as you choose what distraction to put aside, for me it's this 12-hour thing, use some of that time to spend with God, reading this and thinking about it and waiting on God. We'll study together, we'll pray corporately, we're going to do a 24/7 prayer in the last month. Get ready to sign up for an hour or more of a 24/7 prayer. Some of that just where you are in the normal course of your day, and some of that in a place altogether, and we'll cover the full 48 hours between a Friday night and a Sunday morning service. And the sign-ups for that will be here next week, I think. So in 2018, we're going to be speaking and listening in prayer. We're going to be doing and being in prayer. And we'll talk and we'll learn about prayer. We'll practice and do prayer. And by the end of the year, I'd love it if Leeds Vineyard was a place of prayer, a house of prayer, somewhere where everyone can pray, a group of people who are known for and know how to pray. Do you want to do that? Okay, good. I love your enthusiasm. We're going to pray this year. Now, I want to switch subjects to Vineyard House. and this building that we're planning to buy. If you're new here, I haven't got time to go into all that. It's all on the website, but we're in the process of buying a building. Phil, come and bring us up to date. A year ago, I felt God say, almost exactly a year ago, from the story in the Bible about the precious pearl, that the man found a precious pearl and he went away and he sold everything he had so he could buy this precious pearl. And I felt God say, this is your precious pearl. It was hidden away. It was a secret thing. And we found it and we've gone away and we've put all our money together and we've sacrificed and now we're about to buy it. Phil, tell us where we are.
Morning. Just a second. It was very useful, actually, having the vision there. It would be our hope and intention as a church that that vision would be manifest in the things that we do so that when people look at us as a church and as a community, they see the things embodied that we sort of declare. And what we've found is, at the minute, we struggle to do all of the things that we want to do because of the space and the facilities and the resources. We don't necessarily have all of them. So as David said, we're in the process of buying a building very near here, which effectively will just enable us to kind of live out more and embody more of what we want to do as a community. So I just wanted to update you on some of the kind of more practical elements of where we're at with that. We started the process rolling last year, quite early in last year, in sort of conversational terms. And then we made an offer on the building, which was accepted in the summer. And we're still in the legal process of purchasing the building. So David and I had a really good meeting actually this week with the chap who owns the building, which was very helpful and constructive. And we've kind of set out a timetable, which we're both happy with. He currently runs a business from there. So there are kind of practical obstacles for him to just move out whenever, you know, whenever it's required. There are certain times of year that are better for him. So effectively, we have settled on August of this year for a changeover. So effectively, we would grab the keys and move in August. He's happy with that, and we're happy with that. So that's exciting. I've got prayer points for all of these elements. So as David said, if you check the Leeds Vineyard website and the blog for Vineyard House, there will always be a kind of an up-to-date monthly key prayer points. And as David said, particularly this coming year, if you can jot those down each month, pull them off and keep them with you when you're kind of having your quiet time or your prayer time or whatever, and keep this in mind, that would be very powerful. So we pray that we will learn patience and trust in God's timing for this project. And as we take this forward, we pray that we will identify individuals and teams to take a leading role in this project's development. So there are certain kind of sub-projects that will obviously take place in the building, and we're in the process now of wanting to identify and raise up people to take a lead on those different projects. Research, an important part of this for us, and partly for the sort of administrative side of this, is to understand in very real terms what it is that the people in this immediate locality want and need. So we've commissioned a piece of research, professional research, in Headingley, which will be starting literally in the next couple of weeks. So if you do live and operate around Headingley, you'll probably see these people with kind of iPads. They'll be stopping you on the street for a kind of a 5-minute questionnaire for people that want to. It's aimed very much at people that live and work in Headingley. So if it comes to light in the first couple of questions that they don't, there's just sort of a very occasional visitor, they won't be included. We want the feedback from people who live and work in the area. The survey will cover elements such as how frequently people come into Headingley, what kind of services they currently use, what changes people have perceived over the last 10 years, so we can get a real sense of, again, people that have lived here for a longer period of time, how the area has changed for them, whether that be good or bad. And we've set some questions to determine the availability and accessibility of community services. So that's obviously a big part of it. Some of the things that we want to do, we want to be sure that they are needed. You know, it's quite easy to assume such and such a service is needed, but we want to find out for sure. So pray that through the research we can gain valuable insights into the real needs of local people within Headingley. And pray that as people provide responses and we analyse those results, we can hear God's heart for Headingley and be in a position to provide an effective response. Finally, design. So this is an old building that we're buying. It's not technically a church, but you might think it was a church to see it. It's a sort of 150-odd-year-old building and was built as a kind of church hall. So part of the process that we'll go through in the next year or so is renovating and developing the building physically. So that obviously requires an architect who we have identified and started speaking with. The nice thing is now that we've set this timetable with the vendor, the guy that owns the building, we can start to develop those plans now. And we would encourage all of you to contribute to that. So at this point, we're kind of blitzing ideas. So as you feel led, the prayer points cover this really. If you continue to pray that we would all be inspired with innovative ideas to make the best possible use of the space. Pray that we can identify and recruit amazing, inspired people to take a lead on the projects, because the projects themselves will obviously dictate, you know, how the space needs to be configured and what we need practically in the building. And pray also that those whom God has inspired with ideas and creativity will have the boldness to step forward and give voice to their thoughts and dreams. As we said here, if that happens to be you, we look forward to hearing from you. So it does, you know, people will have ideas and dreams and visions that they've been holding on to for years, but it can take a bit of something, a bit of confidence to step up and put your name on that and say, this is something I want to do. I feel that God has called me into this, and I'm looking for the kind of support and resources to help that happen. So that's a good summary. Any questions, you can obviously come to me. And again, as David said, there's a lot of information on the website.
Great, thank you. So one of those people who has been brave enough to articulate their vision is Bethany. So do you want to come up and talk to us, Bethany? I want to introduce you to her and hear one of the pieces of the vision we have for Vineyard House. I'm just going to skip through a bit, William. Come on, stand here for a minute. The big idea is to use these buildings. So we will have this building. We'll keep meeting here on a Sunday morning. But we'll have another building, which is almost as big as this, just a few hundred yards away. And through the two buildings, we'll be able to worship and release compassion and meet our priorities as a vineyard, what we want to do. And we'll make both places a place of prayer and places where mercy is extended, as well as a place to worship and to teach and to learn. Teresa, last year, we were looking at Isaiah 61 as part of our praying around this in our month of prayer and fasting, and she talked about Isaiah 61 talks about rebuilding the ancient ruins, repairing cities long destroyed, reviving them though they have been empty for many generations. And she felt God say to us, "We are to redeem the building, Vineyard House." And this implies the physical restoration of the building, but also its spiritual redemption. Interesting. For the purposes of God. And being involved in this work will be a means of redemption for some of us, and an expression of our redemption. It's a huge step, but it's been given to us to do. Now, so what we've done is identified seven rocks, for help us decide how we're going to use the building as we think through the things. And over the last months, we've looked at the prayer rock and told us about that last year, how this could be a house of prayer and serving the community as well as the church in prayer. We looked at Sunday Rock, having this as an overflow for Sundays here, so the kids have a really good place to worship on a Sunday. We talked about Young Rock, making it a place that serves the local community, the children and the youth of the community. There's nothing much in Leeds going on. An Equipping Rock, Ian and Liz talked about that. Then there's an Equipping Rock, which is a training one, and then a Business Rock, which is one that helps us to make some money to pay the bills in the building. But the interestingly one, for now, is the Hungry Rock. And we had it up there posted, and I've been waiting for somebody to come and say to me, I've got a vision for this, and Bethany is the person. So I asked her to bravely come up here and share with us some of her vision for what that could look like, a hungry rock, okay? So, Bethany, sorry to keep you waiting all this time. You are a student at the university?
Yes, at Leeds Beckett.
Leeds Beckett, yeah. And doing what?
International Relations and Peace Studies, which sounds way more cool than it actually is.
I would take it. I would have it as cool. And your home church in Stafford does some of this type of stuff that you want to tell us about. But when you arrived here and you heard that we did a bit of a relaunch of the Steps thing back in October, wasn't it? What did you feel God say to you at that point?
So it was pretty funny, actually. When I walked in, I was praying on where I was going to be needed and how I could serve in the community. And I walked in, and one of the first things that happens is they go, we have this hunger rock. We need someone to kind of be a part of that. And the background I have is working with a charity that called House of Bread that kind of provides food and like security to vulnerable people. And I walked in, and I was like, this is the place I want to be. And obviously, that calling was right in my face, so I could really ignore that.
So, yeah. Great. So tell us a bit about that. What does that look like?
So the idea behind this kind of charity is we're providing a very safe and secure place to meet a very physical need. So I think we all kind of can recognise that in areas, especially in Headingley, that there is a very physical need for people that haven't got warmth, people that haven't got food, and we can meet that need. And there is a massive calling in the Bible to feed people that are in need. Jesus had many, many meals with people that were in need. And I think that for us, that's really important. So if we can offer that and can offer someone a conversation and a cup of tea and to really connect with that person, that the impact that can have is massive in their lives. And hopefully we can help change some people and also spiritually feed them and bring them to God.
Great. That's good, isn't it? Yeah? So in your mind's eye, I haven't prepared you for this question, what do you think it looks like? I know you haven't even seen the building, but just describe what Hungry Rock might look like in one little aspect.
One thing I really want to focus on is sitting down and actually eating. So it doesn't matter what it is or what we're eating or kind of how that is provided, because that's in God's hands, that's not in our hands. Is sitting down and eating with those people and all together as a community with other people from the community, whether it's vulnerable families or people that are homeless or people that are maybe sofa surfing, and probably having a conversation with them. And that I think that is the most important thing. And from that, we can have branches off into food banks and all kinds of things. But the real main thing is building relationships. And I really desperately want to stress that.
Very good. What's sofa surfing?
Sofa surfing is when... So you have people that are homeless. They may not be on the streets if they're homeless. There may be people that... The large amount of people that are homeless, especially young women and younger people, may be sofa surfing with friends. So you may not see them on the streets. So there's a large amount of invisible homeless people that are not necessarily rough sleepers, but are extremely vulnerable.
Just explain that phrase, sofa surfing. You're a younger person. That means something
to you. So sofa surfing is going from sofa to sofa, so sleeping on people's sofas, essentially.
Great. Bethany, thank you very much. Okay. Great. So we're going to turn to prayer now. And when we finish praying, we're going to worship together for a bit. And then, as always, we're going to be available to pray for each other at the end. So I would love you to join us in this vision for 2018 to become great neighbours in Headingley. Why don't we become great? Why don't we become the best neighbours in Headingley? Hey, and learn as we do that, learn to pray and to make Leeds Vineyard a place of prayer, and to complete the purchase of Vineyard House and establish a radical place of compassion and prayer and worship. It's a major challenge. It's too big for us. But we're just being obedient to what God's given us to do. We need to work hard. We need to make sacrifices. We need to continue to give sacrificially. We need to learn to cope with delay. Not my highest gifting, I have to say. Learning in the waiting. Alison's teaching me how to learn in the waiting. And I want to hear from you now. What are your prayers for this? I forgot to give you these out. Give these out before. Couldn't we just give out those two baskets? So, as we pass these round, there's a little piece of paper with a drawing of a rock. If you wonder what it is, it's a rock, okay, and a pen. And what I'd love you to just jot down on there is a prayer for this year for the church. And it might be to do with the rock that you've heard about, or the rocks, or it might be to do with something different. What is God putting on your heart to pray for in the Vineyard this year? And it may be prophetic in the sense that it may be something that God gives you for everybody else, his promise of what he wants to do or the way he wants to do something. I'd love you to write it down. And then I'm going to invite you to come up here, grab the mic, a bit like before, pray it quickly, and then pin it on those boards there. We've already got lots from last year. Pin some more prayers on there. If you're too shy to pray on the mic, that's fine. Just go straight there and pin it on there. There's some spare pieces of paper down there and drawing pins. But this is an opportunity for us together to pray together. So how shall we do this? I think the Holy Spirit will speak to us through this. And then we're going to worship. Yeah. You've been sitting for a long time. Why don't you stand up? Unless you're writing. It's harder to write when you're standing up. So you can stay sitting down. All right, yes, just come up. If you would like to pray something now as a result of what we've been talking about, come up right now. If it's written on the piece of paper, then go and pin it on there. Or if you just want to go and pin it on there, we're now entering that time. We're going to pray. So ready, steady, go. Come up here and grab the mic and pray.
Lord, I have many.
Big breath.
Lord, I have many coffee. Crikey.
Keep going. You can do it.
Lord, I have many loyalty cards in cafes. Cafe Lento, Cafe Latte, Costa. I want to see Cafe Vineyard. Vineyard House.
A loyalty card. Excellent. Who's next? Come and pray. Let's come and pray. Come and stick them on the wall.
I'd like to see Leeds Vineyard and Vineyard House as the place to go for resources that people need that aren't available anywhere else in Headingley.
Great.
Father, I just want to back up what Bethany said, and that we can be a real place where we really listen, where we really care. It's not just like a thing that we forget about, but we really get into this. Thank you, Lord.
I just pray that anyone or everyone will feel able to seek the comfort they need at the Vineyard House in whatever way they need.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, you've called us all to this because we are the church, and I just pray that each one of us will find the right place to serve for us, because he's calling each one of us. Thank you.
So I've been reminded of the scene in Indiana Jones where he steps off a cliff and discovers a stone bridge under his feet. And I just want the leaders and the people who are going to sign frightening documents and big sums involved and big mortgage commitments will feel that solid stone bridge under their feet, having taken the step of faith off the cliff on this project.
Amen. Amen, definitely.
As I was praying, I really felt the Lord saying to me that Vineyard House could be a place of refuge for vulnerable women and their children, especially leaving domestic abusive relationships. So I really pray that over Vineyard House.
Amen.
Yeah, I felt it was going to be a year of harvest, but what I saw was an apple tree, and it was the windfalls, it was the apples at the bottom of the tree that were otherwise rejected and overlooked, and there was a rich harvest. And my prayer is that we will make a safe place for those who feel rejected and overlooked by society.
Lord, I just want to pray that Vineyard House be a place for exhausted moms and that their children can have fun and know Jesus.
Pray, Lord, that Vineyard House would be a place where young people can connect with each other and with Jesus.
In the practical way, Jesus was a carpenter, and I pray, Lord, that you'll raise up people with many skills to take part in the renovation of this building.
One thing that our church does very well is music, and I pray that Vineyard House would be a place where the music can be brought back into people's lives if the music's gone out of their life. Rock rocks.
classical rocks.
Lord, I pray that Vineyard House and Leeds Vineyard is a place where people will meet with you and experience how your love is working within Leeds.
Good morning. You don't know me. I'm Bethany's mum. I'm kind of visiting. I also work for House of Bread. And on the bottom of our emails, we all have a verse that is very special to us, that was given to us when we first established House of Bread. And I really feel that God is saying this is the verse for you. The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Matthew 25, verse 40.
Amen. Thanks, Mum.
Father, I pray that Vineyard House is a place of your word and that it is the source of knowing you and transformation of people's lives.
Amen.
Father God, we pray that you will raise up fire starters to take the ideas inspired by you and make them reality. Amen.
Father, that the Vineyard House will be a shelter for all, for vulnerable, disadvantaged, powerless, voiceless and choiceless people. Your kingdom come into Leeds. Build the foundation so that your kingdom, your gifts and callings to us are real. Amen.
Amen. One more.
Lord, I pray that it would be a house of worship, Lord, and I pray that you just give us an amazing sound system. And I pray, like some people know what some of the things are on my heart, really the lighter things towards the edges that draw community in and draw people into community. And I remember years ago when I was first at Vineyard, it was a long time ago, a guy who was really passionate about evangelism used to say the first thing is to establish that God is good and like Christians are okay. And I guess I'm very much part of like the dance community. I enjoy dancing, like jive and swing, and I want to see it as a venue where people get drawn in and they start to realize that they find out what else is going on, and they start to realize that, you know, actually Christians are okay and God is good, and they get drawn into other things and a place where we worship, and also a place of like health and well-being where there's like counseling, and we maybe have things like, you know, Pilates classes or exercise classes where we have coffee and we just chat and build relationships afterwards, stuff like that.
Dance rock. Okay. Right, let's worship together. We're just going to finish by singing a couple of worship songs as a thank you and as a prayer for this year. If you haven't yet stuck your thing up there, please do. And then I'll finish off at the end as we pray for each other. That's our prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Would you come? Would you bring your kingdom? Would you come right now? We've brought to you our repentance, we've brought to you our prayers and our hopes. Would you come and meet us? Sense his presence? That's the Spirit of God. Bless your presence, Lord. Some of you here need healing, and I pray, Lord, that you release your healing right now. Some of you need being set free from the affliction of the evil one. I pray, Lord, would you set people free? Would you break the power of the enemy right now? Bless what you're doing. We must draw our time to a close. So I'd encourage, if the Lord is ministering to you right now and you want to receive prayer for anything, or you've come this morning with something that you'd like us to pray for, just come down to the front here. Those of you who are regulars, who are in house groups, keep an eye open and come and pray for people. But we're going to finish there. And I'm going to encourage you to very quickly go and get your children. If you want to be prayed for as well, get your children, give them to somebody else, and then come and get prayed for. Have a great week, and thank you for coming to the Vineyard. God bless.